Thank you, Ms. Johnson. It's all been focused on heaven, amen, today. A lot of Jesus coming again and are going there. Ephesians chapter number 1, if you would, with your Bibles this morning. And I preached last week on the power of tears. And this week, I told my Sunday school class upstairs, I've been teaching out of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I kind of got, it's a married couples class, so got kind of stuck in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We kind of went through the chapter as an overview, and now we're kind of going back detailed through each one and applying it to our married lives, amen? And so we're trying to really go through the chapter in detail and make some investment there, but I told them there'd be a little bit of overlap today when you're speaking on the subject of love. And 1 John, Pastor just taught through the book not too long ago in Sunday school, and it clearly teaches us that God is love. It's one of those things for all of us that we can't separate charity or true love or godly love without understanding that God's love is perfect. Sometimes our love is flawed. It's puppy love. Sometimes it's linked completely to the flesh or emotion, and it's not steeped in truth. One of the great things about godly love is in the thing that God is love, charity or perfect love is founded. Again, if God is love and charity would be God or perfect love, it never changes. It's steady. It's always going to be the same. It's always going to give the same result. And for all of us, I think it's important for us in Ephesians chapter number 1, this is one of the great places in the Bible. Again, we're so much that is taught here doctrinally, both doctrinally, and again, I could take a step back that it gives us things at the latter part of the chapter that is descriptive of our God. And for all of us, I think it's important for us to be able to take some of that home with us. And if I could give away a little bit of the message before I get there by just saying this, that if you truly love someone, you want to know, you're constantly learning about them and who they are. You want to know them. You really want to be with them. In this life, we just had a wedding, and what a blessing. I said this, we had a wedding on Friday, and what a blessing it is to see two young people do it right, to meet in church, to do it God's way, to want to please God with their lives and with their marriage, and just it was a sweet time. And folks, I'm just going to tell you what a blessing it is as a pastor to have multiple, even the couple that sang this morning here, just a wonderful picture of the doing it right. And I'll just say, God's way is always the best way. If you're not married and you're in here, God has got somebody for you in his perfect will. And again, if not, let him be that person for you until that person comes. Because he is love and he does love you and he can fulfill every one of your needs. The chapter is deep and it is long. I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety and we're going to power through it, all right? Now, I heard some groaning a little bit, but I'll just say this, that the Word of God is what we came to study and to learn from today, amen? And so I'm just his messenger boy. So if you would, Ephesians chapter 1 today, and I'll say this, the power of love is something that all of us should embrace when that love or power is coming from God. If you're here this morning, let me just make this plea, and I don't even want to be coy about it this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you've never accepted Him, you don't know where you'd spend eternity, you came to church, and this Bible tells us what God did in His and through His love to purchase you back to Himself. Once man fell into sin and got away from God, God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary for you. I don't want to be coy. I don't want to try to talk you into it this morning. Love ought to move you to a place where you realize that God loves you and he does not want you to be separated from him for eternity. He doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. He wants you to be with him in heaven. And simply accepting him, I'm just going to tell you, you know, when you get married, there's an acceptance. I was reminded of this on Friday when I looked at Jose and I looked at Beulah and I said, do you, Jose, take Beulah to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you know that whole vow that was being made was an acceptance? It was a marrying of two things together to become one. And the same thing happens, if I could say it this way, the best picture, and I explained it there, if you were to go deep enough in this book, all the wherefores and the therefore that are in this, in Ephesians chapter 1, by the time you get to chapter 5, and even at the end of the chapter, he's going to talk about this church. And the marriage, the picture of marriage, isn't explaining the marriage relationship, but the marriage relationship between Jesus and his church. It's pictured best by this earthly relationship of marriage. And so this morning, the power of love will begin in verse number 1, but let's pray and ask God to help us and open our eyes and our hearts and our mind and our ears to his word this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, I come to you the best way I know how. Again, God, I surrender myself to you. God, I want you to use me. Spirit of God, I pray that you would preach the message that you have put on my heart, God, this morning to preach to your people. So, God, I pray that you would use me as your messenger boy to preach the unsearchable riches that can be found in Jesus Christ. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, begins writing here and says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Paul begins the chapter with an introduction to explain to us that God loves us. He says that I'm an apostle, and he just reveals to us all that there's a will for all of us to do. You will never be fulfilled until you are fulfilling the role that God has planned for your life. If you are seated in the auditorium this morning and you are saved and on your way to heaven, if you are feeling an amount of unfulfillment in your marriage or in your marriage relationship to Jesus Christ through the church, it's because you're not fulfilling your role. We think fulfillment comes from someone else fulfilling or giving to us. Giving, being given to, and getting is never a fulfillment in marriage or in the relationship with Jesus Christ. Fulfillment always comes when we give, when we give of ourselves. Jesus came and gave everything and did what we could not do. I'm just going to tell you, it's an example for every believer. He uses us. He doesn't have to have us. But aren't you glad that God cares enough about you to let you be the one that serves, that he lets your hands be his hands in the work, that he lets your feet be his feet. Sometimes he lets your mouth be his mouth, and he lets you bear the burdens of his cross in his work. This morning, the Apostle Paul, writing in this book to us, he was doing the will of God as his apostle into the Gentile church, and he just says to us, he says, look at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father. The whole purpose is a revelation of the blessings of God. He says, blessed, blessed. Did you tell God he was blessed today? When you woke up and came to church, I get to go to the blessed church of the living God that he has prepared and made for me to come and worship him. God, I think about God and who he is in our lives and how much he's truly prepared. Before I was ever born, salvation was prepared for me and for you. Before I was even born, God had prepared a preacher for me. He prepared parents for me. He had prepared so much because he loves me and he loves you. Think about this in verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not he will bless you with all spiritual blessings. They have already been poured out in your name. All you got to do, just like getting saved, is simply go and accept it. Do you know there's so many truths in the Word of God that would help you and better your marriage and your life if you would just do what God told us to do? If you would just say, I'm going to put off this old man and I will put on the new man in Christ Jesus, it would change your marriage. It would change your family. By the way, it would make you happier and feel more fulfilled in who you are because you are doing the will of God for your life. I'll just say this, if we just come and sit and be a part of the church, it's never going to satisfy you. You're always going to feel like you're not being fed or something's not being fulfilled, but it's because you're not putting you. Listen, I in the workforce, when I do something and we'd build something or we'd finish something, it was great to turn around and see what my two hands had been laid to and what I got to do and be a part of. It's no different when you build a bus route or a Sunday school class. Can I just say this? I sat in there, and listen, I'm going to tell you, I told you about tears last week. Can I just tell you? Jose, he cut my heart sitting in there. And he went all the way back to 9th and 10th grade boys Bible class sitting in our Christian school and said, "Preacher, I remember when you became my preacher. I wasn't attending the church yet, but you began to open the Bible in 9th and 10th grade boys class and teach me about the Word of God and the doctrines of the Bible. And you were teaching me just like I was the only person sitting in there." I'm just going to tell you right now, listen, I didn't know if he remembered how far that was, but I'm telling you, I remember him being in that class. I remember every knucklehead that was in that class. And you sit there and you think, how much are they getting? Are they really listening? That's how Sunday school and the work of God goes. But listen, every once in a while, one of them lives for God and makes a good choice and will tell you, "Thank you for your investment in my life." Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I would believe, listen, it would be worth it all just for some of the earthly things we get. But the whole message of the songs this morning is all about this ain't all it is. There's a bunch more to come of reward and thankfulness and blessedness that comes from Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. He begins to talk about salvation and makes it personal. I don't know if you've ever heard this morning, but if you don't know what you got when you got saved, you should tune in your ears because it will change everything in your Christian life. If you realize that God did everything for you in salvation, you don't got nothing to do with it but accept it. In verse number 4, we begin the process. In verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what? Love. God chose you before the foundation of the world, before Jesus came and died, before anything happened in the existence of all the things. I would even say this, before God ever made the very first man, he chose before the foundation of the world that when man would thrust himself into sin, that he would save everyone that would call upon his son. That once he went to the cross and died for their sins, if they would just call on me, call on Jesus Christ, I'll save them. When we understand that, we understand that the beginning act of salvation was that the God, Almighty God, who is love, chose you to be in him through Christ Jesus in love. This morning, I don't know, but it changed my world when I realized that Jesus didn't just die for me and I just didn't accept that, that God the Father, before he ever sent his son, chose me to be born again from the foundation of the world. Now, don't get all out of whack and think I'm a Calvinist. Amen. I truly believe that God chose every man to be saved. I just realized this, every man doesn't choose him back. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm saying that God didn't choose some people to be saved and some people to be lost. It is the will of Almighty God, and Jesus paid for every sin that ever came into existence on Calvary, but not every sinner chooses to be saved by believing in Jesus Christ. Some of them are lost in their religion. They're lost in believing that if they could just work or help God out somehow. But folks, you don't have to help God out because God chose us before the foundation of the world and Jesus redeemed us by his own blood. Look at the scripture. It goes on, it says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. Here it comes, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, didn't want you to feel like anything was left out. Redemption means that I'm redeemed by his blood. And then just in case you didn't understand what redemption is, he went a step further and said, he forgave your sins. You could not have been redeemed without forgiveness of your sins, because sin can't enter into heaven. But praise God, God says, let me just be thorough and let you know, when you got redeemed, your sins were forgiven as well. Amen and amen. He goes a step further. He chose us. He redeemed us by his own blood. So Jesus is the redeeming blood bought. Christian, this morning, Jesus and God the Father are both a part of your salvation, and he keeps going. Look at what he says, in whom we have redemption, in verse 3, through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. I submit to you, verse 9 is speaking about salvation of every man. God has revealed the mystery of his will, and his will is that every man be saved, every woman be saved, every person. God revealed to us in this whole chapter, the first 14 verses reveals to us that all three parts of God has unified for this church age saint people to be saved, redeemed back into God because God chose it. Jesus fulfilled it through the shedding of his blood, and the Spirit of God was shed down because you and I couldn't keep it, and the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of relationship or to the day of redemption. For all of us, I'll just say this, you couldn't keep it if you wanted to. You couldn't keep from sinning, but the Holy Spirit can seal you. That means what he purchased, what he cleansed, what he made perfect in your soul, he seals you. Does it mean your body's perfect? Absolutely not. It's not redeemed yet. It's not cleaned up yet. But again, that soul, that spirit deep inside of you, it was quickened and made alive unto God, and it was sealed the day you got saved. He tells us about it in verse 10 through 14, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him in whom also we have, look at this, obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also... Listen, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. How did you get saved? I heard the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. What did you have to do to be saved? You had to put your faith and trust or believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he did raise from the dead, that he is alive and is able to save from the uttermost. As we preached last week, that same Jesus is the one who said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That same Jesus promised his disciples and all of the church that day that when he would go, he would send a comforter to live inside us and comfort. I don't know what kind of comfort it would be in my salvation if every day I had to worry about losing it. But I don't have to worry about losing it because he sent the comforter, and the comforter came to seal me until Jesus comes back for me. So I have comfort today because I can't lose my salvation, not because of what I'm doing or because of what God's doing right now. I mean, in your life and in mine, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, he's sealing you today until the day he comes back for you. Look at what he says in verse number 14. He says, and I'm sorry, we'll finish verse 13. He says, after you believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That prophet was the comforter would come. That's the promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That verse just simply means this, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That means he is the down payment. Every one of us understand that. You go to buy a car and they say, do you have any earnest money? That means that you're going to come back and get what you said you would get, that you're buying this car. Listen, when we got saved, he sealed us. That means three parts of man, two parts of us are saved, and there's a part of us that still got to be paid off or redeemed and taken back with him, and he's coming for us one day, just like the Bible says. And so the earnest down payment of our salvation is the comforter, the promise of the Holy Spirit of God who came in and saved us. Now, all of that was for free, and it's full of doctrine. Now I'm going to start preaching. Are you ready? the power of love this morning is that he chose us in him to be in love, be in. Listen, look, I want to read the verse to you again. It says here that he says, according, verse 4, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that ye should be holy and without blame before him in love. The only way that happens is if we get saved. But then the rest of the chapter, after he explains how you are saved and sealed, that Jesus, God chose us, but then Jesus saved us by his blood. We believing in him saves us. And then how do I keep it? Because if I didn't have the Spirit of God, I couldn't keep my salvation. So the Spirit comes in and keeps me saved until he comes back for me. Now, what do? I got to be in him in love. It's the process. How are we going to be known as Christians? The Bible tells us that we are known by our love one for another, brotherly love inside the church. That's how we're known. So love is a powerful thing, and the love of God before the foundation of the world chose me. So I'm here today because of the power of love. It changed everything for me. So what do I do? I want to know how do I grow? If God loves me, how do I love him back? And how's the power of love shown in my life? I want you to see in verse 15, he says, wherefore? Now that's powerful. He said, preacher, why'd you preach all that other stuff? Because I had to get to wherefore. And I knew that 3/4 of you didn't know the wherefore. Wherefore, because I'm saved, because I'm sealed, because Jesus paid my sin debt, because of all those things that come before this in the chapter, wherefore I also, after I heard your faith, Paul is talking about his prayer that he makes for them, and he prays what he wants for the church. He says, in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you. This is his prayer. What is it that you need to come from the Father of love for every believer that's in this room? What's the power of love able to give you? Not just salvation, but to give unto you, in verse 17, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you love somebody, I said prior to this, in your marriage, what do people expect? My wife thinks I know her so good that she don't have to tell me things. I should just know it. You know what I'm talking about. We've been together so long, I should know that. She shouldn't have to tell me those things. When it comes to our anniversary, I should know where she wants to go, because she dropped subtle hints that weren't so subtle throughout the year. Amen. Do you know that God loves you, and what he desperately wants for you to have is a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him? Why do I love my wife? Listen, can I just share with you today that the man that stands before you is not the man that my wife said I do. I mean, I am, but, you know, every 7 years, your DNA turns over, right? I mean, every decade, things change. They move up, down, and around. But if you knew the Christian that I used to be, the guy that got married, I was saved and on my way to heaven when we got married, but I'm a different man than I am today, than I was back then. And she had to know me and to learn to love this man on a daily basis. She had to be with me and walk with me. I'm so thankful. Listen, can you imagine if God changed how hard it would be to know him? How expansive he is and how wonderful he is. But if he was always changing, aren't you glad today that God never changes? Listen, we understand that marriage is work. It's work every day as the people change and we grow, and we learn that we can get a spirit of wisdom to love each other and to stay together and be understanding and love them. But listen, can I submit to you today that God desperately wants you to know him? And to know God is to love him. He wants you to ask him. Paul knew what the new Christians at Ephesus needed. He prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom. You know what this Bible says in the book of James and in other places? That God gives wisdom to all men liberally if we will simply do what? Ask for it. Do you know that I could have the wisdom to be able to understand who God is and why he loves me? And just really, if I could just say it like this, to know him. Do you know what Paul asked in the book of Philippians? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Do you know when you love God and you understand the power of his love, do you know what you'll ask for? A spirit of wisdom. Not so that you can be wise, Not so that you can, listen, can a spirit of wisdom help you with other church members? Absolutely. But if your purity of heart and charity of love and your purpose is, God, I'll ask of you to simply give me a spirit of wisdom. So if nothing else, I could know you better. I could have a better understanding of who you are. It would change us as a Christian. It would change our church if our church knew God. This whole book is a love letter from God to us and a revealing of himself to the Christian. Spirit of wisdom begins with having a burden to read God's word. We're having a Bible conference this week. Can I just encourage you, be at the Bible conference, because guess what's going to be preached? The Bible. Guess what we ought to have a love for? The Bible. Why? Because it's God's love letter to us. Number one, I want you to see it this way. God gives endearing gifts to us. If the power of love, see, God gives endearing gifts, and the spirit of wisdom is an endearing gift. Do you know, if she could choose one thing, I'm not talking any monetary thing, but if she said just in our marriage, she is jealous of my time. She wants to know me. She wants to spend time with me. I know that she loves me because she wants just to be with me. We don't have to do anything. We just are together. Do you know what God, if that is a earthly, non-perfect love, how much then does God want to know you, or you to know him and be with him? Those devotionals we have in the back, an endearing gift. If we could give any, if God could give us a spirit of wisdom, you know what God wants from us? The most precious thing all of us have, and it's time. Time to be in church, time to daily spend time with God. And again, if we're spending time with God, it's just simply to do what? Get to know him. It's an endearing gift. Think about time. You know, every minute, as a man, I think all the time, how many more minutes do I have in this life? How much more time do I have left to serve God and to be with my family? And as older I get, the more precious those moments become, and the more I want every minute to count. And it shouldn't just be, listen, I have eternity to spend with God, but I don't want to wait till then. I want to know him. I want to know him. I hope you do this morning. Number two, I want you to see this. He's not just an endearing gift, but if you'll look down with me in verse 18, he's going to go a step farther and talk about an enlightening our eyes. If we were truly going to get an understanding, it has to be an enlightening to our eyes to see the things the way God sees them. Look at the Bible. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. I truly believe this, and I've got to hasten. But I really believe if we could get a spirit of wisdom and understanding of who God is, we would come to a place where we would start seeing things. You know, I mean, we get frustrated with people in the church, sometimes with people that are looking for help, but they maybe don't always put it in the way that they ought to. What if we saw things the way God sees it? What if we drove through our town and we saw our town the way God sees our town? And we saw people as either lost or saved, on their way to hell or on their way to heaven. What if we began to see everything from the eyes of God and what missions is truly worth? How much everything that goes into the plate is really, how precious every dollar that really is to an almighty God. Folks, I'm not trying to preach it to empty your pockets. I want you to take into your heart and have eyes that are enlightened to see things the way God sees them. Because if we saw them the way God sees them, it would squeeze our heart and it would move us into action to do the things that God has already asked us to do in his word. Lastly, I want you to see this. We're to read down in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? I don't know about you, but one of the things that challenges me in the Word of God, I stop reading, and I don't know how many of you, some of you still got your head down, because when I read that, I want to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Would you read on with me? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to, look at this, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Can I submit to you the exceeding greatness of his power is bound up in Jesus Christ. In his resurrected state, he looked to the church and gave them a great commission to set forth and do. Listen, can I share with you this morning that Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If you want to know the exceeding greatness of God and the power of his love, it now dwells in the form of Jesus Christ. He loves us today. He longs for us to serve him. He's the head of the church. And I want to submit to you in verse 23, which is his what? Body. When two things are made to become one in a marriage system, I mean, just the wedding, that the pictures what's going to happen that God does, joining two together into one flesh. You say he can do that in a marriage? Yeah, he can do that also with his church. When you come to the church and you get saved and you get baptized into the body of Christ, the Bible says that something takes place and we become one with Jesus Christ. And every marriage, every Christian is always looking for fulfillment. And the Bible says, which is his body, the fullness of him. Listen, I'm not trying to get you to join our church this morning. I would first of all want you to accept Christ and be saved. But there are so many Christians, people who accepted Christ in their life, and they're wandering around trying to find fulfillment. And I waited to this point to just submit to you. Fulfillment in this life is found in the local church. It cannot be found just simply in Jesus Christ. Jesus gave you something because, listen, salvation would fulfill you if you went to heaven. But he gave you a place to be and to be a part of, to fulfill. This hand wouldn't be full if it didn't have five fingers on it. If it had six, you'd say it's too full. You'd say, I'm a freak. Right? I'm just going to tell you, that's where we live. Fullness is in the fullness of a part of the body, or being a full part of the body, being whole. The church itself, the fullness of him, that what? Who is the power in? It's in Jesus Christ. The power of love is found today in Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it in some love guru. You're not going to find it in your mate outside of salvation, the church, and Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it. People are always looking for fulfillment, and they miss this. The scripture tells us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Today, I preached all that to say this. If you're looking for fulfillment, it comes from one person, and it comes in one place on earth. That is through the local church, and his name is Jesus Christ. All power is given unto him. The power of love and wisdom, the fulfillment of this life, comes in the church. You say, preacher, you only preach that because you're the pastor, and you have to say that. No, I preach that this morning because it's in the Bible. Amen. I didn't sit down and write a message and then preach it to you that didn't come straight from the Word of God. I know that everybody in this place, including myself, is on a daily basis looking for something to fulfill us. And it always has come through Jesus Christ. And it always, always, always will be tied to his local church. I encourage you to do this today. If you are here and you're not saved, the first step for you to find fulfillment in Jesus Christ is to accept him as your Savior. Second is to take the first step of obedience to Jesus Christ and be baptized into his church and be a part of it. And then, after you join the body, get the book. Because it tells you everything about him. Listen, this morning, if you're here and you're without Christ, you say, I don't even know how to be saved. Listen, the Bible tells us how to do that. This morning, I preached about how you confess with your mouth. That's just believe or accept him. Would you let us take a Bible this morning and take you through some verses and show you what the Bible says on how you're saved? If you're here and you're a Christian, but you've been seeking fulfillment through the messages from the pulpit, but you're not a member of the body, I encourage you, join the local church and begin the steps of fulfillment that you need to have to be saved. You say, preacher, can I join the church? We'll sure talk to you about how that happens. You first got to be saved, and then we'll talk to you about everything that goes on after that. Really, the step of faith is yours to say, I want to join to the local church. And after that, we want you to do that. We'll help you do that. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you stand to your feet? Many of you that are a part of the local church here and you're a part of the body of Christ, can I ask you this while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Are you still seeking fulfillment through the local church? Or after you knew those things through salvation and baptism and joining, have you started to seek fulfillment somewhere else? I'm going to tell you and I submit to you, you can't find it there. It's only going to be found through your relationship and your fulfillment of being a part of the body of Christ. I pray this morning, if you're a Christian, saved and in the building and a member, that you'd start seeking that again. You can do that. You can come and say, God, help me get that spirit of wisdom. God, help me to understand and have eyes that are enlightened to follow you. But if you're here and you're not saved, would you get saved this morning? The invitation that's about to take place, we're inviting you to step out and make your way to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. I'm going to pray for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're a Christian, would you pray that somebody get saved this morning? They get baptized and do and be obedient to the Word of God. Dear God, I pray this morning that you'd save somebody that's lost. Lord, I know in this building, without a doubt, someone is already ready. They're ready to believe, but God, they're having struggles with their flesh to step out and come. I beg you to give them boldness, guys, and eyes to see, to step out and come and receive Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.